Amen. Amen. So we are going to continue with this series in Luke. And this morning we are looking at Luke 4, the first 13 verses. And this is, I entitled this message, Overcoming Through the Word. Overcoming Through the Word. And this specific passage speaks of the temptation that Jesus Christ went through the devil's temptation of him. And so, you know, Luke 4 is a blueprint of spiritual warfare for us. It shows what happens when the enemy comes with the temptations. And what Christ did to counteract every temptation. Jesus' unstoppable freedom that he had in resisting and overcoming these temptations. He won by truth. He won by the Spirit of the living God. He won by Scripture. And he won by his unwavering loyalty to his Father. And that is the same recipe that we have to overcome in our own life. It is important that we consider that temptation itself is not sin. Amen? There's temptations, but the temptation is only what leads either to the sin or the temptation to overcome that sin and leads to victory. Temptation is not the sin. There's nothing wrong with temptation. What's wrong is how we respond to the temptations that come in our life. I want us to begin this morning looking at a passage. Oh. So we're going to look at 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. Says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And I bring up this scripture because if we look at these three things here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are the three basic areas that are covered by the three temptations that Jesus experienced. Those very same things can be wrapped up in each of those temptations, and we're going to look at those today. In Luke 4, we see that Jesus was our substitute. And our substitute, Jesus as our substitute, was led to go through the temptations for us. You see, first of all, Jesus, as our substitute, is going to succeed in where humanity has failed. From the very beginning of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve failed the temptation. And Jesus comes along after being baptized, and he experiences temptation. But he did not fail. And as he did this, he is going to show us the secret to overcoming temptation in our own life. Because he overcame, we have that power to overcome ourselves if we would follow his lead. Let us turn to Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." Very interesting. The context of this is very interesting. This passage starts then. And this word then points to the previous chapter, previous experience. And it points to that Jesus had freshly come out of that his baptism. And we remember from Luke chapter 3 at his baptism, what did God say? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. It was at that point that Jesus, his identity was declared by the Father, that he was the Son of God, and that God was pleased with his life. This is a very important thing for all of us to understand, the importance of identity. Because I believe that our identity in Christ is the one, probably the most important thing that we have to overcome every attack, every temptation that we have. When we understand whose we are, who lives in us, whose power resides in us, do we understand that if we are Christians, if we have surrendered our hearts, our lives to the Lordship of Christ, we have to understand that by His Spirit, He lives in us. He works in us. And what does that mean for us? It means that greatness dwells in us. Greatness lives in us. And it's because of that greatness that when we are tempted, we don't need to fight in our own flesh. We don't need to fight in our own weakness. We fight out of that greatness that lives in us. We read also here, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Very important. We know that in this world, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of, every day, we can face temptations. Amen? There's temptations all around us. There's battles that we all face daily. And unless we are yielded, unless we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we will be fighting out of our own strength, our own flesh. And believe me, I've tried it. It doesn't work. It usually does not end well. So it's very important that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. But the Bible speaks of being filled to overflowing. And that's very important because I know there's a point in my life that I was praying for that infilling of the Holy Spirit. Before that, my life was at a certain level. And I struggled. I seemed to struggle a lot more. And it was as I prayed and as I asked God to fill me, to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And when that Spirit came upon me, and I was baptized, it was like this power endued within me. And those things that I struggled with before no longer were those like obstacles. They were no longer those things that derailed me because I had this power from within that came alongside of me and lifted me up above my circumstances, above those situations. It's very important that we are filled and constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And we come to the first temptation. Actually, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." So we come to the first temptation, and this is what I had mentioned in that passage from John is the first, the lust of the flesh, stone to bread. This is our physical needs, our cravings, instead of spiritual devotion. And Jesus' response that we see, man shall not live by bread alone, And the strategy for us is that we focus on God's word for life and not on our physical satisfaction. Let us drill down and to see what actually was happening in this. You see, Satan first came to him and says, if you are the Son of God. What was he saying there? He's calling into question what? He's calling into question Jesus' identity in his Father. If you are the Son of God. And that's, isn't that like Satan? How many of us have had Satan, have had that little voice say, are you really a Christian? Are you really saved? Are you really walking close to the Lord? Yeah. That's Satan's greatest weakness, to bring doubt, to bring unbelief. Because if he can do that, he's going to take us off that path of victory, off away from where that our strength really lies. And that's in our identity in Christ. Very important. And this will be repeated again in the third temptation. You know, for us, that may be to the point where we have to somehow prove our salvation to the world, to those around us. But you know what? That is the enemy's lie. We don't need to prove our salvation. All we need to do is look to the Lord and recognize that if we are walking with the Lord, we are saved. His Spirit lives in us. His Spirit dwells in us. And he gives us a power. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Amen? Is anyone perfect here? Anyone perfectly walking out this walk? No. But the important thing is that we are walking forward. We are walking day by day. And we can experience victory day by day. Doesn't mean that we're going to have these skirmishes. It doesn't mean we might get a little bit dirty in our walking out this, our salvation. But the key is that if we know our identity is in Christ, that we are saved by his blood. His blood is able to save us, able to wash us, that we can walk in that victory. And then here Satan says, you know, turn these stones into bread. You know, and sometimes, you know, I can just imagine Satan saying to Jesus, why are you hungry? If you are the Son of God, why are you hungry? Go ahead. Turn those, you have the power. Go ahead, turn those stones into bread. You know, and that's so often in us. You know, maybe for us, it's, you know, Satan comes along and says, if you are a Christian, why are you struggling? If you're a Christian, why are you unhealthy? Why are you experiencing this illness? If you're a Christian, why are you struggling with money, with poverty? If you are a Christian, why are you fill in the blank? And that is Satan trying to undermine what God has already promised for us in his word. If we would follow him, if we would walk with him. The lesson here is that we need to understand that the source and the motivating force in our walk with him must always be the Lord himself and his word and our identity in him. And if we remember that what does the Bible say that Jesus' title, one of his titles is? He is the bread of life. He is the source of all life. That mere food, physical accomplishments cannot give what the bread of life can give us. You know, then another observation from here is that, you know, Jesus was hungry. He was probably very weak at this point, and many times in our life, the enemy, temptation will come when we are maybe at our low point, maybe there's some situation that we're in, and we're just feeling down, we're feeling weak, and how many of you know that sometimes that's where the enemy seems to attack us so often. When we're at the lowest, when we've gone through a very difficult trial, circumstances in our life. And Jesus' response, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This is a direct quotation of Deuteronomy 8:3, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from God. Notice that Jesus immediately, he doesn't argue over circumstances, situations. He goes directly to the word of God. The most powerful weapon that we have next to prayer is the word of the Lord. Because when we speak the word, we are speaking with the voice of Jesus. It's like Jesus is speaking to the enemy, speaking to that temptation, said, no, not today. Christ is saying that we must live by every word that continually proceeds out from the mouth of God. And it's, you know, in the Greek, there's two words that speak of the word of God. There's a logos, which is scripture, which is our physical Bible that we read and we can study and we can gain knowledge, understanding. But there's another word in the Greek for the word of God, and that's the rhema. And the rhema is a very important, because how many of you have studied the word and it's just kind of like a general, you know, we're kind of storing it up. The rhema is that as we're going through a situation, maybe we're being tempted, and it's at that point that we're tempted that the Holy Spirit quickens a scripture that we've memorized, quickens a scripture that perhaps we just studied or we just read in our devotional. He takes that word and he quickens it to our situation, and he brings it into our awareness to use for that very specific situation. It's a quickened, anointed word of God. Both are very important. We need to spend time in the word of God, but we also need to spend time in his presence and asking God for those quickened rhema words from the Lord. So powerful. And 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Scripture is very important, very powerful medium for us to use. So we come to temptation number two. In Luke 4, verses 5 through 8, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. Amen. And so here we have the temptation number two is the lust of the eyes, kingdom offer, seeing what you want and taking the easy way or compromise. Jesus' response, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the strategy is to serve God first. We need to do things his way rather than the easy or the shortcut way. The devil took him up high on this high place, and he showed him the kingdoms of this world. We all know that the Bible speaks of Satan as a prince of the world, of the heir of the world. And we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They basically gave the authority of this earth over to Satan because of that temptation. And we know from the scripture that Christ came to take back that which was given over to Satan. But what the devil was doing here was he was trying to have Jesus take back the kingdom in the wrong way, right? The Father's plan was for Jesus to take back the kingdoms. How? By going to the cross. But here Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut. Avoid the cross, avoid that suffering, and I will give you the kingdoms of this world. And that is so often that, you know, in our life, that there's Satan will come along, temptation will come along, and will offer these great things in this world. Wealth. You can have, you know, all the entertainment, pleasure in this world. If we would just worship the one who rules over the things of this world right now. And that's the pleasures, the things of this world. And we know that that's the prince of this world, Satan. Instead of doing it Christ's way, by walking with him, by worshiping him, all these things, Christ says, can be yours by following him. So Satan was saying, Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. And the same thing for us as we walk out our salvation. What does Satan say to us? You don't need to pick up your cross, die to yourself, and follow the Lord. You can enjoy life. Let me show you. And so many today, we look around this world, so many today are worshiping the Satan, the prince of this world. And it really is leading to a lot of chaos in this world. And so what did Jesus do to combat Satan? Again, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. And this is found in Deuteronomy 6:13. It's interesting, when I went back to Deuteronomy 6:13 in my Bible, in New King James Version, it says, fear the Lord in place of the worship. And I felt the Lord just speaking to my own heart. We need, in order to overcome the enemy, we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. And what the fear of the Lord really is, it's that holy awe and wonder of Jesus Christ. It's that where nothing else matters than just having that presence, having that relationship with the Lord. And from that comes the strength that we need to overcome. You know, Satan was offering this world all these promises. But how many of you know that of all the promises that Satan gives to us, he won't deliver on those promises? He's a liar. He's a prince of, he's a supreme liar. And so remember that. When temptation comes, when we are tempted to look for shortcuts, look for ways outside of the cross, remember, Satan will never deliver what he promises. Only Christ will truly deliver what we truly need. You know, we have to beware of compromises in our life. And, you know, Satan will look for every opportunity to cause us to compromise, whether it's in the Word, whether it's in, you know, to so often we see in this, in unfortunately in the church, where the truth is watered down, where the cross is no longer preached or taught, that somehow we as Christians need to be careful not offending those others. Water down the word. Water down our walk. Don't be so radical. God is looking for those who, with the word of God, would be radical Christians, who would not water down the word, but would speak the word in truth and life. You know, we can love people into hell. Amen. We need to preach, to teach, and to speak the truth of the word, because that's the only thing that's going to save people. And then we come to the third temptation. In Luke 4, then he brought him up to Jerusalem and he him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Temptation three is the pride of life. Temple, jump. This is thinking that you're too big to fail, testing God. Jesus' response is, do not put the Lord to the test. Do not tempt the Lord. And the strategy is humility over pride. Trust without testing God. You see, here the devil took him up high and was challenging him. If you, again, we see this, if you are the Son of God, kind of testing him, saying, are you really who you say you are? Is the Father really, truly your Father? And this is a temptation that Satan will always use against us to undermine the identity that we have in Christ. Are you really a Christian? Are you really a follower of God? Does God really care for you to deliver you? And so here this challenge to Jesus is to take that authority. If you are the Son of God, don't you have authority? Don't you know that God will cause his angels to catch you, to lift you up? You know, Satan could bring this temptation to Jesus, but you know one thing that Satan could not do? Could not throw Jesus off that temple height. And the same thing for us, Satan can come and try to deceive us. He can bring us to this place where he can try to deceive us. But the one thing he can't do is he can't make us sin. That comes from us. And very important. Satan can only go so far, and that's as far that God will allow him to go. And very important for us to understand. Another observation that we can see here is that Satan can quote Scripture. Did you ever think about that? Satan knows Scripture. He can quote Scripture. And he did. He used Scripture. I can just imagine and say, Jesus has used Scripture. I might as well join in and use Scripture. And he thought he was going to be clever to use Scripture that Jesus would not be able to come back against him. But you know what? Today, Satan can use Scripture. There's those in the world that will try to come against Christians and they'll speak Scripture. They'll declare Scripture. but many times are taken out of context. Very important that when we use Scripture, when we read Scripture, that we don't take it out of context, that we don't take it, isolate it from the overall context of the Bible. Amen? So many errors come when Scripture is taken out of context. It's used for a purpose that was never meant to be used for. And so the only problem was that so Satan was using a Scripture from Psalm, and Psalm 91. And if you remember Psalm 91, it speaks of, you know, that God will give charge of his angels over you to protect you, to keep your foot from stumbling. And so Satan said, I'm going to use that. But, you know, Satan, in his using the Scripture here, he left out a few words. And, you know, the important thing is when we know from Psalm 91, if we read the context in the first two verses, the verses 11 and 12 that he spoke of only apply to those what? That are following after the Lord, that are surrendered, that go into the secret place daily, have communion, are those who are in communion with our Lord daily. And so there's very important that we, as we spend time with the Lord, as we allow that word to just infuse our hearts, that we understand when the enemy comes with Scripture, when man comes with a Scripture and says, what say you? That God can quicken Scripture and say, but you're misusing that Scripture. That's not what that says. And we can counteract those lies that misuse Scripture with the truth. We understand that Jesus is, by the grace of God, he will help. We don't need to worry about the consequences. So many times, you know, we think that we can do something that is, you know, we take things in our own hands. We think that we can never fail anyone. Been there, we can never fail. We do things. But you know what? There's consequences when we do things not in the order that God has for us, not in the will of God. Amen? And there's many Christians who have, including myself, have found that I you know, I thought I could do something in my own strength and ultimately ended up failing in that. I'm wondering why. Because I did it in my own strength. I did it not in the will of God. We need to remember there are consequences to everything. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is what's available to all of us. When we go through temptations, whether it's the Satan himself or whether it's just the temptations that come from our old nature, our fallen nature, our selfishness, if we would follow this blueprint that is spoken of in Luke 4, if we would understand the power of, number one, our identity in Christ, know whose we are, know who lives in us, that greatness, if we are Christians, if we are walking daily with the Lord, that we know that greatness dwells, lives in us. His power is available to us any temptation that comes our way. But we see here that until the next opportune time. So every victory that we have, praise God. But know that somewhere down the road, that the opportune time, that temptation will come again. My admonition to us is that we be ready. Be ready for every temptation that comes. I want to close with a couple of scriptures. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted than what you are able. But with the temptation, we'll also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is a great scripture to put into your memory. So when temptation comes, this is one scripture that can say, guess what? This is just common to all men. This is common. Everyone faces this. But I have that promise that God will provide. He provides his word. He provides his Holy Spirit. He provides that identity in him to overcome that temptation. And then finally, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. That's probably the best thing that we can do. Resist the devil. When he comes with temptation, when that temptation comes in our life, know that it's, you know, either the devil's highlighting a weakness in us or that fallen nature is rising up within us. Resist it. Resist it, not in your own strength, not in your own understanding. Resist it by the word of God. Resist it by the empowering Holy Spirit. Resist it by acknowledging whose you are. You are a child of the living God. And he has provided, he has resourced you with everything that you need to overcome. Our challenge this morning is this. We need to study and memorize Scripture as a sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, if you remember from Ephesians 6, is one of the weapons that God has given us, the word of the Lord. We need to study. We need to meditate on it. We need to make sure that that word is planted in our hearts. So when temptation comes, God can quicken that word. God can make that word come alive in us. We can get that strength. Identify the temptation in our lives. Where are we weak? Where does it seem like we fail too often? Identify that temptation. Gather the relevant Bible verses for that temptation. If you know you have a weakness in certain areas, seek the Bible out and seek those verses that speak, empower you to overcome those promises of God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, brothers and sisters. We have the power to resist. We shouldn't, that Christ Jesus already went and was tempted in our place. He did not fail. And he offers that to each and every one of us because he went before us. He showed us the way for us to overcome every temptation. Let us follow in his. Thank you, Father God, that you declare in your word that, Lord, we will have temptations. But, Lord, you have provided the way for us to overcome. And may we, with a sword of the Spirit, the word of God, may we use it effectively, confidently, Lord, to defeat, to overcome every temptation that will come our way. May we be strengthened in our inner man to know that we, our identity is in you. And from that place that we can fight. Because greatness, may we understand, may we see that greatness lives in each and every one of our hearts. And may we live our life not out of our weakness, but out of that greatness of you, Lord, that dwells in each and every one of our hearts. May we go forth in victory. May we go forth in that freedom that you purchased, that you bought for us. May we never see ourselves failing ever again in those temptations, but may we see ourselves victorious, conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you are doing in and through us, and your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Go forth and resist the enemy. Resist those temptations. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.